In a landmark move, the Supreme Court of India has permitted the withdrawal of life-sustaining treatment from a patient in a permanent vegetative state, marking the first court-ordered passive euthanasia actually carried out in the country. This decision has significant implications for the legal and medical communities, as well as for society at large, forcing us to confront questions about dignity, personhood, and the limits of medicine. On 11th March 2026, the Supreme Court, in a bench of Justices J.B. Pardiwala and K.V. Viswanathan, allowed the withdrawal of clinically assisted nutrition and hydration from Harish Rana, a 32-year-old man who has been in a permanent vegetative state since 2013. Harish Rana was just 19 years old when he fell from the fourth floor of his paying guest accommodation in Delhi, suffering a severe traumatic brain injury that resulted in 100% quadriplegia and a permanent vegetative state. For over 12 years, he has been sustained entirely by a percutaneous endoscopic gastrostomy, or PEG, tube providing clinically assisted nutrition and hydration, known as CANG. His family, after years of medical consultations confirming the irreversibility of his condition, filed a petition seeking permission to withdraw life-sustaining treatment, citing the suffering imposed on Rana by indefinite mechanical continuation of biological function and the absence of any medical possibility of consciousness or recovery. The bench of Justices Pardiwala and Viswanathan held that CANG, or nutrition and hydration delivered through a PEG tube or nasogastric tube, constitutes a medical treatment, not merely basic nursing care or hydration. Because it is a medical intervention requiring clinical assessment, prescription, and ongoing management, it can be lawfully withdrawn when it no longer serves a therapeutic purpose and serves only to prolong a vegetative biological state. This is a legally significant holding because it closes a definitional escape route that had been used in earlier cases, the argument that removing a feeding tube is not passive euthanasia, but rather starvation, or that nutrition is not treatment. The court explicitly rejected that argument, directing that the withdrawal be carried out with full preservation of dignity, in a medical facility, with palliative care support, and with protocols ensuring the patient experiences no pain or distress. The journey to this landmark decision began with the Aruna Shanbog case in 2011, the first Supreme Court case on passive euthanasia. Aruna Shanbog, a nurse at KIMS Hospital in Mumbai, had been in a permanent vegetative state since 1973 after a sexual assault. In 2011, the court allowed passive euthanasia in principle but rejected the specific petition in her case, as her primary caregiver, the hospital, opposed withdrawal. The court laid down that high courts could permit passive euthanasia through a specified procedure. Shanbog passed away naturally in May 2015. Then, in 2018, a 5-judge constitution bench in the Common Cause case recognized the right to die with dignity as a fundamental right under Article 21, the right to life and personal liberty. The court held that a person may execute an advance directive or living will, specifying that life support be withdrawn if they become terminally ill or enter a permanent vegetative state. The judgment also created a procedure for passive euthanasia applications when no advance directive exists. However, the Common Cause judgment created a procedurally complex mechanism involving medical boards, district-level committees, high court approval, and other steps that critics found so cumbersome as to make the right practically inaccessible. Between 2018 and 2026, no passive euthanasia was actually carried out. In 2023, a Supreme Court bench simplified the advance directive procedure, reducing the number of approvals required, intending to make the process more accessible. But it still required multiple medical and judicial steps. The Harish Rana case is the first to complete the full process, from petition to medical board assessment to High Court and then Supreme Court approval, and result in the actual withdrawal of life-sustaining treatment. It transforms passive euthanasia from a theoretical right into operational law. So, what is passive euthanasia, and how does it differ from active euthanasia? Passive euthanasia refers to the withdrawal or withholding of life-sustaining medical treatment, allowing the natural dying process to proceed. It is legally and ethically distinct from active euthanasia, which involves administering a substance to cause death, and remains illegal in India. The distinction matters for both law and medicine, as passive euthanasia is premised on the principle that medicine has no obligation to indefinitely prolong biological function when it cannot restore a meaningful quality of life and when continued treatment imposes burdens without benefit. Despite the landmark nature of the Harish Rana order, significant structural problems remain in India's passive euthanasia framework. The procedural pathway is still complex enough that most families in similar situations will find it practically inaccessible, requiring legal representation, multiple medical opinions, and a Supreme Court order. India has no specialized palliative care legal framework, no national registry for advanced directives, and limited public awareness that the right exists. Most hospitals outside metropolitan centers have no protocol for handling passive euthanasia requests. The 2018 Common Cause judgment also left unresolved the question of surrogate decision-making for patients who never had capacity, those who became incapacitated before adulthood and never had the opportunity to execute an advance directive. Harish Rana was in this category, and the court allowed his family to petition, but the legal basis for family surrogate consent is not yet fully codified. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. Harish Rana was 32 years old when the order was passed, but he was just 19 when he suffered the traumatic brain injury in 2013. He had been in a permanent vegetative state for over 12 years, sustained by a PEG tube providing clinically assisted nutrition and hydration. The bench that heard the case consisted of Justices J.B. Pardiwala and K.V. Viswanathan, and the order was passed on 11th March 2026. This case is significant because it is the first court-ordered passive euthanasia actually implemented in India. Remember this number, 2011, the year of the Aruna Shan Bok case, and 2018, the year of the Common Cause judgment. Note this carefully, the Common Cause judgment recognized the right to die with dignity under Article 21 and created a procedure for passive euthanasia applications. The Harish Rana case is a landmark because it transforms passive euthanasia from a theoretical right into operational law. Now, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? For prelims, you should be aware of the concepts of passive euthanasia, active euthanasia, advance directive, living will, Article 21, permanent vegetative state, and CANG. For mains, this topic falls under GS2, Fundamental Rights, and the Right to Die with Dignity, as well as GS4, the Ethical Dimensions of Passive Euthanasia. In conclusion, the Harish Rana case marks a significant development in the legal and medical landscape of India, forcing us to confront complex questions about dignity, personhood, and the limits of medicine. As we move forward, it is essential to address the structural problems that remain in India's passive euthanasia framework, ensuring that this right is accessible and implemented with dignity and compassion. The implications of this decision will be far-reaching, impacting not just the lives of individuals and their families but also the broader societal and ethical discourse on end-of-life care and the right to die with dignity.